You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Hey, you're listening to Adulting with Horses, the best place to be if you can't be at the barn. We are your co-hosts and equine authors, Heather Wallace and Natalie Keller Reinert. As crazy horse girls, we don't take ourselves too seriously in the saddle or out. We celebrate the things that make us different. Join us as we talk about horses and pop culture and get a little weird in a fun way. Thank you for being a little weird with us. Hi, Natalie. We're back with another episode of Adulting with Horses. Like I said,
and we're back.
We're back. Whether you want us to be or not, we're here.
We should definitely consider a jingle like Troy and Abed in the morning. I've been watching a lot of Community lately. So be Heather and Natalie doing horse stuff.
We're talking horse stuff.
I don't know.
Yeah, we need like a musician in our listening audience who's willing to do that for free and for like credit.
Yes.
But like no payment because we're horse poor.
We are fully paying you in exposure. It's a thing. It's a real
just
thing.
For full clarity. Please help us. We're poor. And also it would be fun.
So. We're giving out all this great content for free.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Really in debt. I mean, you know, paying for that web hosting ain't free, folks, you know.
That's right.
Web hosting hits at the same time, and I have a lot of domain names.
I do,
like,
too.
Some of which are not in use.
No, but it's mm-hmm. the what if you need them one day,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, and so you got to hedge your bets. I actually bought, when I came back from Iceland last year, you're going to love this. It's called wanderlustequestrian.com.
Oh.
It's a phenomenal name. No one's thought of it yet. I own it. Mm-hmm. So if someone wants it, they got to go through me.
I love it so much. I mean, at the very least, you should just have some merch on it that says Wanderlust. Like, it could just be a little SEO trap that sells random hats and t-shirts and stuff.
Yep, totally.
It's kind of my dream. I have a few domains like that where, like, if I just put this name on some merch, it could sell itself. But I have to make the stuff.
Well, that's the thing. There is some work that goes into it.
We know how that goes. Everybody's enjoying our sticker book right now.
I know. We'll get there. Well, instead of thinking of new things to create, why don't we talk about some of our favorite things to purchase or use? I like that too.
Pony retail therapy.
Exactly. Mm. So, you know, it's the time of the year where we've got bathing horses, rolling horses, insect-covered horses. Mm-hmm. And so now that the weather's nice, there's a lot of washing involved, which means grooming time. And you and I have talked recently about Ferris's feral mane. Okay. Not to keep bringing up a trigger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But so he's getting, I'm just letting you know, like I spent a good 30 minutes on it yesterday. I washed, I detangled, I brushed, combed, de-knotted, and he's getting pulled today. So it will be glorious.
It's got I just did Ben's mane like last week, I think. It was when I was getting over COVID.
And as one does.
I wanted to go outside. Like, I couldn't be in the house anymore, but I didn't want to do anything like strenuous. So I went out and I groomed Ben and I said, hey, do you know what? Your mane is too long. So I trimmed it up with my mane knife and he looks so cute and dapper right now with a super short mane. Whereas Manny looks like a Muppet who was left in a garbage pail overnight during a thunderstorm.
So what you're describing is basically like every horse that I own, the second they leave the grooming stall, they walk outside and they're like, let's fuck it up now.
I mean, Ben rolls, but Manny digs into leaves and twigs. Like, he'll come in just trailing branches behind him.
in his tail, like stuck in his tail.
Yeah, literally like 6 feet behind him, there will be a branch. The branch will be larger than Manny, who is a small miniature horse. Like,
one time,
he always has stuff in his forelock covering his eyes.
See, that's what I was gonna say. So one time, Delight has the most luscious forelock in Maine, and the first year I had him, he was living, you know, with these Mustangs in this beautiful big sanctuary,
And for whatever reason, he kept finding the grass with the brambles. So he looked like a unicorn. His forelock was all stuck up in this little place. And there was like all these God. Little thorns in it. And it was like sticking straight up in the air, like something about Mary. Let me tell you, I am not about to cut that glorious forelock, okay?
No.
I spent hours, days even, trying to unlock that tangle.
Oh my God. Can we agree a forelock is super important?
Super
and
important.
It should be luscious and full. I used to have a mare with a gorgeous forelock, and I had a trainer friend. She was from the UK. She'd been in like the Queen's household guard or something like that. She was very, very traditional.
Very posh.
Which was funny because she was from Blackpool. It was not posh, but she wanted me to pull my mare's forelock.
No.
She wanted it to be short. I don't know. I was like, I can't. Are you? It's
like
the most beautiful thing.
Did she want fringe?
She wanted her to have a fringe, I think. Probably could have called her Lunatic Fringe after that, which was the original name for Banks, because she was a lunatic. Yeah, and she actually commented that on a picture of Ben once. You know, it was Ben has had – he doesn't have the best forelock right now, but he has had like a Mustang-worthy forelock. And she commented on a picture of him on Facebook. Said, oh, you should pull that forelock. Pull that forelock.
No, don't touch the forelock.
Never in a million years. And let me tell you, there's a piece of artwork in my possession right now, which no one has seen. And it has a dressage horse. And the dressage horse's forelock is not braided. And I'm not sure why, but it is so cute. That I'm like, it has to stay this way, even though it's incorrect, because his forelock just makes his face so adorable that I'm obsessed with it. So,
yeah,
I'm thinking maybe can we bring that in? I'm very traditionalist too, but maybe a trend where we don't braid forelocks and we
don't
just
braid,
have
don't
fluffy.
Touch, like, do not touch them. Like yeah. If they're puffy,
finger
leave
comb.
Them puffy.
Yes. Like untangle, like you're a saddlebred trainer in the 60s undoing a tail strand by strand. Just don't let that go.
Yeah,
that's how I feel. I think I'm more passionate about forelocks than possibly anything else aesthetic
Clearly.
About a horse. Yeah.
Well,
like it's
so
big.
I don't know. It must be 5 years ago now. Ferris had this huge outbreak where he got tick bites all over his face and had a really bad reaction. I'm talking like 20 some odd pustules on his face.
Like, where did he find 20 ticks all at once?
I mean, we were in a very lush paddock, let's just say.
Really?
And yeah. And we're not there anymore. And he ended up needing this medicated face shampoo like twice a day.
Oh,
and he kept – the forelock kept going into his eyes. And so I would like keep tying it up and like putting it in a rubber band. And, you know, and ultimately – and I regret this every single day of my life – I chopped off his forelock. I just shaved it. Like he looked like a fucking polo horse.
Oh, my God.
It was not a good look. Like it was, I mean, it's better than having fringe. Okay. And like the bangs, like it's clearly, but never let me pull a mane. Okay. I just totally took like scissors and just chopped it the fuck off. And he still hasn't forgiven me. Like I go to like just comb his forelock away from his eyes. And he just absolutely does not let me touch it. I don't blame
him. Oh my God. We've all heard of the groom who cut a horse's tail. Because it was getting in horses' bandages and the groom was, you know, then fired. Like, we've all heard that story.
I don't mind a flat tail, but do not chop the tail. Like, trim
it. Don't chop it at the hock, which
no.
is what – in those stories, it's always like, oh, the tail was in the way and they cut it off at the hock and they had
Hell
to be.
Hell to the fucking no.
Yeah. No, cut it at the – you know, you could cut it midway down the cannon bone if you want to be super British about it. I cut him at about the last fetlock, you know, joint there. So
I prescribe to the it. If they step on it, then they're pulling their own tail and I don't have to do anything.
No, Ben always steps on his tail and I can't stand it. He gets dirt in it. And they're like, I got to cut your tail, Ben. And I have to cut his tail like every 3 months. Like,
do you really? I don't think I've ever cut Delight's tail. It's lush. It is thick. But it never gets in his way. When we first got Odin – there must have been like a knot or something in it, like, you know how all the hairs kind of grow together, and my daughter was riding him and the one like thicker hair strand kept getting stuck between his legs every time he tried.
Oh yeah,
like, it was so nasty. I was like, we need to clean his tail
right
now.
That needs to be a daily occurrence. I don't brush tails daily. I used to, like, I picked that up working, you know, as a groom. was like, this horse has to be turned out like a 5-star horse every day. Okay, okay, okay. So I groomed a tail every day, but I have stopped doing that.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, I don't even groom my horses every day. I mean, they're not on property. I'm lucky. A good week for me is getting to the barn 3 times. Like, that is a wonderful week.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, like, when you go out and handle them, you groom them, right?
Oh, every time. Yeah. Yeah. Every time. But I don't always. That's what I mean.
Like, in the grooming process, the tail is usually, I'll shake it out and be like, okay, that, but let's pull this branch out. And
and the hay and things like that.
Yeah.
So I guess if I'm grooming, I usually do groom the tail. But then, you know, the mane takes the longest because my horses love to roll. They're very happy in their fields. And so they, and, you know, they have thicker, longer manes because I like my horses feral looking, not acting. So
I want to. Yeah. Yeah. I want to compare. Like, I groom every time I groom a horse, I groom the exact same way I learned when I was 10 years old.
Okay,
and
let's
so
do this.
I want to know if it's the same as your method.
Yeah, you go
so
through basically, your process and I'll go through mine.
I do, you know, the 3 brushes, the curry comb, right? And I do it neck, midsection, hindquarter, neck, midsection, hindquarter. And then I do right up down the cannon bone gently for scurf. And right above the hock gently for scurf. And then soft brush, soft brush, soft brush, soft brush. And then I pick hooves. And then I brush tail. Then I brush mane and I brush face. And I just lost the power of speech, but that's fine. And I have been brushing horses that way since my first riding lesson when I was 10. That's the method. That's it.
That is okay. That is a very standard method. That's very full encompassing.
There's nothing new required. Like, every single brush in my brush box could have been invented in 1900 or before, and it would still be recognizable and effective.
So I'm going to throw a wrench in your little life there and tell you that is not what I do. So so I'm both a less is more and more is more kind of girl. So what I'll do is I actually stopped using a curry comb about 2 years ago when I found the tiger's tongue. And I'll use the tiger's tongue to like lift the dirt to the surface, and I'll use that and then just a hard brush to like wipe it all off.
I don't know what a tiger's tongue is. What is it?
A tiger's tongue is, it looks like a big sponge, but it's actually almost like a Brillo pad, but not the same material. It's just like that kind of coarse, open, like if you were going to use like a piece of volcanic rock, right? Like they do like Icelandic horses. Like it's open and poured. And so what it does is it kind of just lifts all the dirt to the surface. And I find also it helps de-shed sometimes if like I don't use the shedding blade. But since this is summer, you know, we're going to not talk about that. So I'll just use that. And I find the horses really like it. It brings everything up. And then I just wipe it off with a hard brush. Sometimes I remember to soft brush their face. Not always. But so for me, the big three is like, you know, body with the tiger's tongue and the hard brush. And then I'll do their hooves. I'll pick them out. And then I usually will put some kind of protectant on it because they tend to get thrushy. And then I will comb the mane, the tail. And I usually what I will do too is I might spray them with like Shosheen or something just to keep them like the dirt on the surface. So the next time I brush them, it's a little easier.
I see. I used to use Shosheen when I groomed too, but I don't anymore because it feels gross when it gets on your skin, quite frankly, like the silicone. And I'm learning that I have weird texture issues that I didn't know about. Like I just thought that was how I reacted to things was normal, but I'm starting to be told that maybe I react a little oddly to things touching my hands.
If you knew all the things that touch my hands on a daily basis.
It's literally about texture for me. Like, I don't care how dirty it is. I'm like, you know, under the tail all the time. But like, oh, why does Ben always get a tick under his tail? It's really obnoxious. There we go. But yeah, there are weird things like the grooming glove that I like won in a package last year. You know, that one that's like cactus cloth on one side. I don't like brushing horses with that grooming glove. I don't like the way it feels under my hand. I need a brush. I need something hard between me. I like petting a horse, but
with
I don't
the brush,
like
you can adjust the bristles.
Sliding my hand down the horse like kind of freaks me out.
So no hands on gloves for you?
Mm-mm, I don't like them.
I think they're good I think they're good to improve circulation on the horse and to like get through like really muddy, dirty horses. Like, I think that's good to kind of lift that up. But then I don't really, I found that I haven't been using the hands-on gloves much for lately.
Yeah.
What I have been using a lot of is it's, and this is nothing to like all our friends at Farnham or Straight Arrow or any of those things, is like, I found this tiny little company. They make this this detangler like gloss that I swear by. It makes detangling manes so easy. And it's like $12 for a bottle, and it's lasted me like a year. It's awesome.
Did you say what it was?
It's called Fairy Gloss. It's called Orchid.
Oh,
it's,
I like that.
It's called Equispa Fairy Gloss, like Orchid Fairy Gloss. And it's a small business. Like, no one's probably ever heard of them. But I'll tell you right now, you just, a couple of sprays go a very long way, and it is awesome. And it grows. I mean, you've seen my horses' manes. They're very thick and lush, and it does the job.
Does work on the tail?
Yes, of course.
Have you used on tail?
I would just spray.
I don't really
need
anything for mane, but I could use something for tail. Because when I do brush out the tail, I'm like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. Holy cow.
Right.
But I, like I said, I don't like to use Shoshin every day because I am weird about it. So, you know, I don't use it. And so I don't brush the tail.
Well,
but
it is,
I like
oily.
Kind of brushed tail.
Like, it is oily.
Oh, see, oil gives me the ick too.
Yeah.
This so is just a bit of a baby.
You are a bit of a baby, but I don't know. It's one of those, like, I wouldn't spray their coat with it because it might be too slick. Like, you couldn't ride in it. Mm-hmm. But I just recommended it to a client of mine, and I'm waiting to see what she thinks because it's the one I hide in my tack box because I don't want other people to use it, you know, because I just, like, love it that much. The other thing that I cannot live without, and this is all year round, and I'm going to forget the fucking name of it right now because I'm trying to think of it. Hold on, I gotta look it up actually.
I'll tell you, I can't live in the summer and most of the year without Equiderma shampoo. So while you're looking that up, I will just explain
how
Equiderma shampoo has like tea tree oil and good smelling things in it, arnica, like calming things, because Ben is an itchy boy. He itches on everything all the time. Every single time he lies down, I watch him lay there and rub his belly on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Does he get sweet itch?
No.
That's
good. The sweet itch is a reaction to midges.
Right.
And we don't have those in Florida.
Oh.
He just...
It's because of all the spiders.
My God. No. It's just, you know, we do have flies. We do have mosquitoes. We do have gnats. And those combination of things, he's just like, oh, get it off me. And he starts rubbing on things. And he is kind of, he's like, he's just, once he discovers something, he gets really addicted to it. And so if he finds a tree that he likes to rub on, that's going to be his focus. And I will watch him walk very purposefully to a tree, especially if he hasn't been allowed in that paddock for a little while. Like, I'll let him in and he'll be like, fuck yeah, there's my tree. And he will walk. He'll almost trot to that tree and then he'll rub on it for 20 minutes and take off his skin, just in love with his tree. And I don't even think it's that. At that point, he's just addicted to the feeling of rubbing on the tree. But I try to calm his coat regularly with the Equiderma because I have to hose him off every single day, right? And boy, is he shiny and smells good all the time.
Yeah, he does look, always really looks nice.
Yeah, he's always gleaming on almost no food. Actually, he gets more flaxseed than anything else.
Well, that helps the coat too.
So although, that's gotta be a bit, yeah.
Yeah, we can't use that. Delight's allergic to flax, so he can't have that at all. But I was always a little weird about tea tree because some horses are allergic to it.
Yep.
And so, you know, you have to like just double check that. So for anyone out there who, you know, spot chest first. But yeah, I love it because I use tea tree myself, you know, to repel ticks and things like that. So I think it's a great product, but I've never, knock on wood, had to use the spray. I did remember the name of it before. Perfect. I even had to look it up, and it's Coat Defense. Do you know that powder?
Yeah, I've seen it before, but I've never used it.
So it is I have it in each of my tack boxes and my trailer. Like, I kid you not. Like, it goes with me everywhere because you can use it on a wet horse to help them dry. But you're mostly going to use it for, like, skin, fungal infections, and rain rot. And mm-hmm. so you can get rid of it, but also prevents. So my horses, since I started using this, and I don't use it often, maybe once a week, never had rain rot. Never. Gorgeous. Gorgeous coat.
That's saying something when one of them's a thoroughbred, right?
I know.
I used to have horses that they just – no coat in the summer. It was just, oh, it was so disgusting all the time.
Yep.
And nothing worked. Literally, people be like, oh, put bleach on them. Oh, put pine sol on them. I have heard almost every single household chemical associated with trying to get rid of rain rot. Mm-hmm. The 90s were a bleak time, folks.
Well, the reason I found out about this, because when I first brought Delight in, he had 1 month where he was kind of like having a letdown while I was getting his home set up, like his rehab sanctuary yeah. home set up, right? So he had 1 month and he had an insect sheet on and they left it on him in a rainstorm and then for days after. Like they never.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was. Yeah. So I came in and one day I found like it was so filled with mold, the insect sheet, that he mm-hmm. was then filled with mold and he was miserable. And he was already shut down. He was already in so much pain. And so coat defense, literally, I'm not kidding, 3 days, it cleared it up right up. It just came right off, just dried it out, flaked it off, boom, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really good to know. That is a huge tip. Huge. I'm really lucky. Ben has never gotten it, but there will be another thoroughbred in my life before too much right, longer, I'm sure. Yeah. And he will get rain rot because it's fucking Florida.
I know. And
rain rot is like our state coat. Our state flag is a blue tarp and our state coat is rain rot. That's what our horses look like.
Yeah, we have – I think I struggle more with thrush than rain rot up here in New Jersey because we have like sandy and muddy soil.
Yeah.
And so it holds the water really – too well sometimes.
I had a little trouble with thrush back in early May. Now it's not raining at all. Don't worry. It's a desert again. And I bought some blue stuff that I promptly got all over my hands because I didn't understand that I hadn't actually taken the cap off. I'm really Whoops. Stupid, first and foremost. So it seemed like I took off the seal and it seemed like you turned a little thing like a mustard bottle, you know, and it would come out. And I was like, great. And I'm putting, and then it starts coming out the sides and it's going all, and I'm like, this goddamn bottle is broken already. And I put it down and I looked at it and then I turned the thing that I thought was the cap and it was like, oh, this comes off. There's a whole other part of it. So more instructions would be great. Thank you, everyone.
Especially with something that dies, like it's blue.
It was bright blue. And it actually only stayed on my hand like overnight. It wasn't a huge deal because the Amazon reviews were like, this will dye your hands blue forever. And I thought, well, no one's going to see me. So
was
it
the
matter.
One in the orange container?
No, it's in a little bottle, but not like Thrushbuster little. It's smaller. I think it's actually in a blue bottle.
Oh, okay.
And it's from one of the big, you know, it's from Absorbing or somebody like that. And it was like on sale on Chewy. So I bought it to have like in my back pocket. And then sure. I actually needed it and got it everywhere. But it looked effective. I don't have any more problems.
Well,
but it's dry now. So
I've gone through literally everything with my farrier and Delight for the thrush. And, you know, we still battle it periodically. But I will tell you, like, for everyday use, I use the Huffplex, like all natural. It's like a, you know, a huff stain you put on like nail polish. I use that for like, you know, not every day, but like, you know, the daily when I go to groom. And then if it looks like they're starting to come up with thrush, I use the Dry Cow by Tomorrowland, which is for mastitis, right? It's awesome.
Dry Cow.
Yeah. And it just dries it right out. And that's I can cool. put it all the way in the heel bulb. It can go all the – it's really, really nice. So I almost feel bad telling people that because I don't want them to go buy it all because I need it.
I'm going to buy a tube. That
yeah, no,
great.
It's really good. I bought like a six-pack of it and I keep it, again, in my trailer, in my tack trunk. And then the other one that I use for if it's – holy shit, it really looks like it's bad straight iodine.
Yeah.
Straight iodine the whole time. Just brush it on.
Yeah. Manny had a little bit of white line in one of his hind hooves because of, like, it rained a lot in April and May, and they were standing in mud around their hay. And the farrier was like, yeah, just scrub some iodine in there and he'll be fine. I was like, okay. And he was. He was fine. He's fine. Yep. Now it's gone.
And it's cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Iodines that always have around kind of goo, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's it. Like, so the things that I keep on hand, I think, is iodine tomorrow by or the dry cow, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And then I keep silver honey. Like the silver honey, like, wound care.
Yeah, I've been looking at that.
It's really good. And I was actually talking with the women who do the marketing for that company. And I'm not going to call out names because I was like, I was asking them, I'm like, so, like, what if, like, I caught a cut and I, like, put it on me and I, like, used it for myself? And they were like, we cannot recommend that for you. Wink, wink.
Right.
And so I was like, noted.
I like that.
I like that. So, like, because, you know, so you just have it in your tack box and then, like, oh, look, I have a cut. Oh, look, my horse has a cut. You just, mm-hmm. It's there, you know?
Yeah, I like that. I'm probably going to pick that up. I have really liked the – it comes in a yellow tube. It's like – I think it's called 3-in-1. And it's probably not a lot of info for you, but, like, it has – it's it has menthol in it, I want to say. So it has, like, a pain relief element to it. And it has emu oil. And it's very goopy. And it will stick to things really, really well. I'm going to see if I can figure
out. I'm actually shocked that you're recommending anything that's oily right now. You said, like, goopy and oily. But I thought you were texture sensitive.
It is. Well, you know, it's a cut's a cut, right? Like, you got to – you just got to – I'm not using it every day necessarily. Although I will put it – on TRICARE, that's what it's called, Farnam TRICARE.
Okay.
And it's called, like, Triple Action. And I probably bought it because I like Triple Action antibiotic for myself. And that's pretty much what it was selling, where it has emu oil and tea tree oil and benzocaine and menthol. And I will use it on areas that, like, sometimes when they get ticks under their tails, which seems to be my horse's preferred places. They get sweaty back there. And if I rub that on their tailbone, then it stays, like, the oils in it, like, keep the wound covered up. Do you know what I mean? And the tail keeps rubbing it onto it. And so it actually keeps dirt out really, really well. All my horses do is walk around in sand and roll in sand mostly. So everything is, like, coated with a very fine silica layer.
Sure.
So I can put it on where Ben rubs his belly. I can rub it on there and it stays. It, like, forms a layer. It's almost like Vaseline in texture. Okay. It forms a layer and it covers stuff up. So you don't have to, like, spray on a liquid and then there's not anything there anymore. You don't have to cover it with, like, an Alu shield or something if it's a cut. You don't want any dirt to get in. It just goops. I love a good goop for a wound or a sore spot.
Yeah, we just did that for when we microchipped Odin. He got a little goop. Although I didn't ask the vet which one she used, but it looked like he was, like, clotting. It was, like, so goopy. And then she's like, don't worry, it'll fall off on its own in, like, 2 or 3 days. And, like, okay.
That's interesting. That actually, you should find out what that was because I'm intrigued.
I know, right?
I like to know something is just buried because I don't have a nice clean stall. If something is really icky or I really want to keep it clean or it, you know, it's on a fetlock or something idiotic because Ben has done some weird hoof grabs over the years. He's got scars on, like, his left front above the heel. He has a huge scar. He grabbed himself so badly once when he was younger. I was driving an hour to the barn every day to clean it out and treat it. Like, when I only rode him 3 days a week if I was lucky. And I had to make time and leave work early every single day because it was so gross. And again, he was out in sand, in deep sand. And there, you know, I had to be the one to take care of it. As fond as I was of my barn owner, she didn't really always remember to handle stuff like that. So,
well, and you know, we can't always expect them to handle some of those smaller things for us. You know, like if there's a big injury or whatever.
Well, technically, it was her horse, but that's all.
Oh, well, then that's a different story. Like
stuff happens. We all have different levels of protectiveness that we feel over horses, and when it comes to wounds, I tend to get in there. Like I got a big repressed vet inside of me that's like, all right, we've got a stage 5 slice here. I need all of the medicines. I need chlorhexidine. I need it all. Let's go. I'm big into that.
I still am the one who like will turn to my friend Robin, and she's the owner of the barn. And I'll be like, he's got scratches. What do you recommend? Like, I always ask her because she's just been there, done that. She's literally seen and done everything. And she's just like got this way of feeling so secure, like she can handle anything. So I turn into like this big baby when I'm like, my horse is bleeding. What do I do? And she's like, you know what to do, Heather. I'm like, can you just help? You know, I'll pay you. Like,
I totally get that. When I first had my own farm, and I felt like I was a person who had seen everything, and then I'd have a problem. I'd call my vet. She's like, Natalie, you know what you're doing. Don't call me. Like, she literally told me that.
She's like, don't waste my fucking time.
She's like, she would say to me, like, do you really want me to come out there right now? And I'm like, maybe. She's like, go to the store. Like, give me a shopping list. She was not having it.
Nobody wants to make a barn call all the time. You know what I mean? Especially not for one horse. It's like you live in a rural area. So
I mean, she literally, like, my horse ran through a fence once and had this big slice in her knee. She was like, I'm not going out there for that. What are you gonna do? You're gonna stitch up her knee? Give me a break. Just, like, clean it out. Like, oh my God.
Ferris once got a puncture. We still don't even know how. You know, he just decided to put a hole in his leg. And we're like, so we're clipping it. We're looking at it. She's like, you know, you could have done this. I'm like, yeah, but you're the professional. Like, sorry. I'm, you know, meanwhile, give me a dog or a kid. Speaking of, quick segue.
Okay.
This is probably, I'm not going to give any names because this might be illegal. My small animal vet.
That I've heard of in another state.
right. That's not associated with me at all. Hypothetically, told someone close to me that when the stitches were coming out for the dog that I don't own, that, oh, you can go ahead and take the stitches out yourself if you want. Because I work, you know, in the wellness industry. And I literally had to turn to this person hypothetically and say, like, you realize I'm not actually a tech, right? Like, I always hold the dog for him and I do all the things. And I'm like, I don't feel confident taking out stitches.
I think that's what vets say to horse people. Because I had a vet, a small animal vet in Williston years ago. So they didn't like know me. I just took my dog in to get spayed. And she looked at me, I guess probably the way I was dressed. And she was like, yeah, you could take out these stitches, right? And I was like, and she's like, you just, you know, whatever. She said, like, you
clip
just snip and you pull. And there's, and I was like, okay. And she's like, great, have a good day. And she just assumed because I was wearing, like, you know, boots and a pair of cutoffs that I was going to take my dog's stitches
that
out.
That makes me feel better, actually. That makes me feel better because he does know that I'm a horse person and we have had a long-term colleague relationship. So that makes me feel better. But I was just like, I looked at him and I was like, I think he's overestimating me right now.
I very much look forward to hearing if our listeners have had similar experiences where small animal vets just are like, you handle this, right? Like, you have horses. You don't need me.
Well, there is a huge difference too, like between a large animal vet and a small animal vet. Like small animal vets deal with a lot of the minutia that large animal vets don't because we don't bother the vets for a lot of things. Like my dog could be bleeding. I'm going to check the wound. I'm going to make sure it's contained. I'm going to clean it. I'm going to do all the things. Then if it's not stopping, I'll call the vet. Meanwhile, you know, you get normal small dog owners because horse people, we tend to do things. We upgraded our trainers. first.
But we can buy all the stuff that we need.
Right.
And, you want to buy something for a dog, like you have to buy – you have to just know that whatever you're using in your horse, you have to figure it out for your dog because they don't sell that stuff to consumers. You know what I mean?
Like I have a complete vial of Dex for Delight because he breaks down into hives and a box of syringes the vet just handed me. And she's like, here you go. You know, just IM. And I was like, no one ever taught me how to do an IM injection. Meanwhile, here I am giving my dad's dog insulin like because I know how to do an IM. So I'm like, oh, I know how to do insulin now. Like, that's easier than IM. Like, boom. And it's really funny. Like, the stuff we actually do, we're very self-sufficient. I'm proud of
very
us.
Very self-sufficient. Yeah. I actually, you know, I have a vet do my vaccines now, which is something I would have laughed at myself 10 years ago. Like, you're paying somebody to do vaccines. And it's literally just because it's like easier to do a wellness plan and be like, just check out the horse altogether, because otherwise my horses won't see a vet unless, right, you know, there's a bone sticking out.
Well, that's like the point.
I'm used to taking care of myself. But, you know, yeah, you try to do that with a dog and everything is like gate kept. And there's like, here's 2 tablets and call me on Thursday when you need 2 more tablets. Like, why can't I just like, why can't I just grab a bottle from you or like call Chewy or whatever and just, you know, right, or is there like, I'm pretty sure there's a generic of this at Publix, right? Like, it doesn't have to come from you. And they're looking at me like, what's your problem? Like, what's your problem?
I had an awkward moment with my veterinarian who, she's lovely. She and I get along really, really well with my large animal vet. So, you know, she's coming out for Ferris and we're doing some tests and all that. And she's like, oh, you need more percent, right? For his PPID. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And so she's like, yeah, I don't remember the last time I gave you percent. And I'm looking and I was like, oh, really? Like, well, we just ran out. And I forgot. She had to go check. I hadn't had it for like a year because I'd had like 2 clients who with horses that passed away that they were like, oh, do you want to buy this box of percent off of me for $50? So I've been getting it on the black market.
Oh my God.
Whoops. So I had to tell her that, like, oh, I think we just had a couple horses pass away and we just used theirs. She's like, okay. She never even thought about it, but she was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Whoops.
I mean, stuff turns up. Someone on Facebook is like, I got all this GastroGuard. You know, shit turns up. You find what you need. You know somebody that's a racetrack vet. You know literally anything.
But yeah, they trust us a lot, these vets, and I appreciate that actually. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to come out all the time, so nope. Yeah. So there is a lot that I have in my tack box. I don't use all of it all of the time, but I've got it.
No, but you've got to have it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, you've got to have some iodine. I always keep Chlorhex around, probably because I had a strangles outbreak once, and so Chlorhex is like my best friend.
Yeah.
Although the smell of it does remind me of the strangles outbreak, but I just feel better having it. You know, I've got my TRICARE. I've got some red coat for some reason. I don't know.
What's red coat?
Is scarlet oil.
What's scarlet oil?
It's this like archaic, like farm treatment. It's liquid. You spray it. I don't know what the fuck it does, but
it's like a mystery spray.
Yeah, it's one of those old fashioned medications from before, like we had science. But it seems, I think what it does is it keeps a minor abrasion really moist and like it's anti, I want to say bacterial something. So it keeps something from getting infected. If it's not the end of the world and I see it, I just go spray a little of that on it.
It's just
really
an example
great
of like, I don't know why this works, but someone told me it did. So I'll just
use
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Sugardyne, right? Like you've used Sugardyne in a diaper for an abscess, nope, right? No.
Oh. Well, knock on wood, my horses actually don't abscess.
Well, mine don't now either, but I've had Thoroughbreds for so many years that like a monthly abscess kind of a thing. You take sugar and you take iodine and you make a paste out of it and you put it on the hoof and then you put a diaper over the hoof.
Yeah. And then duct tape it, right?
And there's Epsom salts. I'd have to look. I don't remember now. I think there might be Epsom salts. And yeah, then you duct tape it on. Don't use Gorilla Tape because you found some in the house.
Yeah, you'll never get it
gorilla
off.
Gorilla Tape doesn't come off hooves. Don't ask me. I don't want to talk about it. Use duct tape. And I don't know why it works, but it does work. And I've had vets say to me, like, why don't you just do Sugardyne when I've asked them for advice? And I'm like, oh, I didn't. Okay, I thought that was just a weird thing people did. No, vets will tell you to use it too sometimes. And it works. And it's just one of those things, like always have iodine in the house, always have real tape.
I
have any diapers.
And this is not a grooming supply, but I will tell everybody, like if there's a must-have that is ever in my tack box, grooming tote, whatever, I always keep a knife or a scissor, like something that you can cut with.
Yeah.
Quickly. So I always keep that. But yeah, I don't know. I guess like if I were to list a couple of my favorite things, I mean, I'd have to be like the coat defense, the silver honey, the orchids gloss. So good. And the tiger's tongue. Oh my God.
I might have to pick one of those up.
It's not expensive. It's like $8. You could buy it at a Tractor Supply. It is phenomenal.
Okay.
I just love it so much. It's just great. Like, I've stopped using a curry comb. Because you know in the winter when the curries get really hard?
I don't.
Oh, shut up. That's right. Fucking Florida.
Well, that's what I like. Like, I have the, you know, the rubber. I don't use the old-fashioned hard curry anymore. I haven't used one of those in
about 10
years.
I like the silicone.
Yeah, I have the one with the cone-shaped whatevers that were brand new when I was a child. Do you remember Gruma tools? And I use that, and I like that it's soft, but it digs in. And I think Ben really likes it too. You know, really rub in there and get those
muscles. I use those actually for myofascial release. So I don't know if I ever showed you when I was down there with Ben, but like those ones I use and I keep in my work bag because I will use those as a grooming tool. For like if I'm trying to get circulation moving and get the fascia lifted. That's actually why I use that, but not for
I feel like that's
cleaning.
That's like one of my goals when I'm grooming is like, let's loosen everything up.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good
because I get up there in the neck, you know, and
you
I rub
get it.
That hard spot in his neck.
Ooh,
and
yeah,
that
get
hard,
that hard
spot right above
Ooh.
His stifle where he's like, ah.
I feel it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We get in
You're
there.
You're getting all the right notes, baby. Keep it coming.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I got the time. It's right outside my door.
Yeah, brag,
I'm in no
why
rush.
Don't you? So,
yeah.
Speaking of, I'm actually going to get to ride today, and I'm wearing riding clothes. So you're
I
welcome.
Noticed the quarter zip.
I've got
super
a quarter
cute.
Zip. I've got breeches, and I've got high boots. So I'm legit
high
today.
Boots.
Yeah, it's actually 60 degrees outside right now. So I'm going to take sheer advantage of this.
It is 94 here.
Fuck
60
that.
Degrees.
Oh, it's I wore a hoodie this morning.
What?
Oh
what
my God. I am in my feels. Like, I feel sexy. I feel cute. I feel like riding.
I wouldn't go anywhere near a horse if it was suddenly 60 degrees. I
well,
don't think I'd feed.
My daughter's going to be watching me jump her pony, so that'll
oh,
be fun.
Oh, heels down, babe.
And he's really cute. So I got a video of her riding yesterday. I'll have to post it. Maybe we'll do a side-by-side comparison of why she looks better than me in the
Oh,
saddle.
My God. That is such a cute idea.
So we'll see. I'll have Robin take video if I get up the nerve because I've never jumped
it.
Him before. I've never even cantered him before. Not since we bought him anyway or leased him or whatever. But the – like when I tried him, I cantered him. But he's such a different horse than he was 2 months ago. So
that's exciting.
Yeah. So – All right, what are your adulting wins before we go and do horse stuff?
Oh, man, my baker is back.
Baker?
Yeah, so one of the things I said I was going to do nice for myself this year was start buying fresh bread. And then in the true spirit of abundance, somebody popped up in my town offering cottage-baked sourdough.
Oh, hell to yeah.
And so I started buying the sourdough bread from this woman, and my health improved instantaneously. Like, it was
no
a life changer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No preservatives. Sourdough itself has got some kind of magic power. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what it is. It, like, evens out the glycemic index or some crazy
yeah,
thing
it
like
balances
that.
Balances out the acid in your stomach.
Yeah, it's amazing. So she went on hiatus before I went to London, and it's almost a coincidence that my health also went on hiatus before
yeah,
I went
to London.
Yeah,
you got two back-to-back illnesses. You better eat more sourdough, bitch.
And so she finally came back. She has a new ordering system. She makes bigger loaves now, and she emailed me and said, I'm so sorry. I was away. I had this. I had that, and you can go ahead and make an order. So this morning, I went to her home. On the porch were two loaves and some bagels, say for Natalie. And I brought them home and I had a warm bagel. It was still warm.
Yeah, you're making me horny now.
And yeah, it's very sexual up in here with my sourdough. I'm extremely happy that my baker has returned. If you do one nice thing for yourself, is buy yourself some good fucking bread. There's a reason why civilization was based on bread. And anybody who tells me otherwise can just suck it.
No, only the rich had bread, baby. It was a luxury.
Luxury. Luxury.
Amazing. Well, that is a fucking win.
That's a fucking win.
I don't know if I have anything remotely. I guess I'm going to ride. Yay.
Woo. I just got lucky, you know. Well, you got your weather.
That's true.
In the summer, essentially. So that's pretty great.
Yeah. So and I actually, so what came yesterday and I finally pulled out, I love biothane tack. Okay.
Hate
I'm not going to lie. I know, but hate I love it. So that's what matters.
Suck it.
And Odin is going to be doing probably some trails. And so I was like, this leather bridle is not going to do it because he's so forward. I was like, I'll snap the reins. Like, it's just going to happen. So like, what can I get him? So I ended up getting this beautiful signature raspberry pink biothane bridle. Oh, it's bright. It's bright. It's bold. It's all up in it with like a matching breastplate. And the reins have pink and then black, like little scrubby dots, like the grippy dots. Uh-huh. And it came yesterday and I put it together. So I'm probably going to be jumping in that today. And the best part is that my daughter, whose pony this is, right, they're riding, she walks in and she goes, "Mom, I'm so happy. He's going to look like a Barbie horse."
Oh, and I was like, oh my God.
Oh, no, this was for me. So now she's going to be using it, and she just needs to buy him a matchy saddle pad.
She's boss. Does it match that shirt that you're wearing, which is a raspberry color?
Yep.
Oh, I can't wait to see this.
I'll get a photo or video later, for sure.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So you know me. I don't like to disappear into the fonts of tradition.
No, you don't.
I do not blend. Okay.
I really hope you're going to get a show jacket in one of those shades. You can get away with that in IAA, can't you? You can now, so I'm like,
I have to find out, but I was actually thinking instead of the pink, because I don't want the judge to look at me too much, clearly.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
So uh-huh. I was thinking like a black kind of sateen with like maybe a little, you know, fun little
piping.
Yeah, like something like fun, but like bold light. You know what I mean? Just like a little trendy, a little cool.
I like that idea. Yeah, yeah. Not too much attention. Exactly. You know, like just the crystals on the helmet. You're kind of begging for them to look at your head really hard.
Exactly.
I'm seeing a lot that head.
Or blind them, you know, in the sunlight.
But a traditional color with piping, maybe a little lapel or color at the pocket or something. I like that idea.
Even like pink piping I could do, but like I need something with stretch because like I got big old titties.
Well,
you know?
I think that's how everything's made now. It's all stretchy.
So like I need like that's like a double sports bra situation. So I got to figure that out because I like to pop the show shirts. They love to pop on me. So I have to like size up and then like talk. It's just a whole thing. So yeah, but well, we might have to have a whole episode on that.
I don't know when last time you bought a show shirt was, but they don't button up anymore.
I think it's probably been about 7 years since I bought a show shirt, to be fair. They've also grown exponentially since then. So hormones.
Yeah. Well, good for us, I guess.
I guess I got, I just got new bras. I got measured. I'm a 34E.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I am impressed. Like I knew they were magnificent,
but they're
putting a label on them is just like that's impressive.
Yeah. I know it was like, oh my God. Well, okay, that's where we're at. So let's try to keep it to an E, people. Like no, we don't need to go bigger. Please don't let me go bigger. So hopefully this exercise thing will help that situation. But
yeah, that's right. The whole like, the new gym. We got this. We've got this.
We're going to do it. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.